The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, good.
Yeah?
Good. Yeah.
You sound, why are you flustered?
No, I've just been editing your voice for 2 hours.
Oh, fucking hell. You're sick of me.
You're sick of me. So, today, I don't know where John is.
I don't know, he said he's in the waiting room.
Oh, right, well, he's not. Right. But the guest today is head of BBC Comedy, John Petrie.
God.
Have you met John?
No, I googled him. Yeah. I do my research.
Oh, I thought you would have been sending him scripts. And...
Oh, I probably have. Yeah. I spam everyone with my mad scripts.
I love that John's head of BBC Comedy.
God, when you said that last night, I thought, bloody hell.
Yeah,
that's a biggie,
isn't it? It's a huge job.
He could just, you know. Alfie, write me anything.
There's 1.5 million. Let's see what you got.
Let's see what you're doing. Change my life. And that's what I'm hoping from, for this call.
Yeah. Oh, really?
No. I have no ideas. Yeah, I want him to like me, desperately.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you all right, John?
Morning, boys. You okay?
Yeah.
It's not a morning anymore, actually, is it?
But no. Anyway.
How are we?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Recovered after yesterday's little session.
He really is the heartbeat of the pod.
I know. Brings it down immediately.
Absolutely loving that. Yeah, not bad. What we got today then?
Yeah.
No. I think yesterday's pod took it out of me, to be honest. I thought I came across really badly.
For those of you listening don't know what we're on about, we did a phone-in last night. It's episode 32 or something. But you came across badly.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, is it like, I don't know. I felt like I was arguing with them.
No, I stuck the longer version on my Patreon and people saying, I stand with John Beer.
Yeah.
Oh, bless him. That's
kind. You didn't crumble, mate. That goes three times your age.
I don't think, I never worry about crumbling. I just worry about coming across like, I don't know.
I thought you came across as a very smart young man.
Oh, thanks.
Who knows his onions.
Knows his onions. Knows what to do with them.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't know what to do if you gave me some onions. I wouldn't even know where to start.
You'd chuck them in the bin and get out your turkey twizzlers.
I'd go, do I need onions for what I'm making? Probably not.
Nah.
Pop them in the bin.
How much protein's in an onion? Yeah, exactly.
Do you know how much protein's in an onion, Alf?
Probably zero.
Oh.
I'm not a dietitian, though.
Fair enough, but yeah, I don't know what I asked, to be fair.
What have you had for breakfast?
I haven't eaten. I got up about half an hour ago.
No, John. You can't keep living like this. It's 12:30.
Oh, don't tell everybody what time it is. Come on.
You can't wake up at midday. That's just disgusting.
Yeah, I've got nothing to get up for, though.
Yourself.
Oh, God. That's a bleak. Yeah.
Once again.
Let's get John Petrie on.
Yeah, let's get him on. He'll perk us up.
Head of BBC Comedy, John.
Yeah, he's top dog. I've done my research.
This is going to be difficult. Both called John. Let's get John on. John.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Right. How are you?
Good. I haven't seen you in one hour. I saw you in London.
Paddington, in a train station.
Yeah. While someone was over They're sort of listening in, weren't they? Well, I was having a chat with Joel. We bumped into one another. This guy just went, sorry, are you talking about...
Yeah, we were having a telly wanker gossip.
Yeah, I love
that. Oh, good. And he actually said, are you talking about... Oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really strange.
Yeah. It was... It's nice to see you, though.
Yeah, it's lovely to see you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just suddenly... I was like, why am I doing this? Because I've never, like, all I normally just sit and judge people on podcasts. I've never been on a podcast
before. Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah, I did one when I was trying to be a producer, and before podcasts had become anything, I made one called Podland, which was like, it's supposed to be like Desert Island Discs, where you... basically had a land and then you'd have a guest and then they'd bring a rule or a law and then...
I have to sort of remember that, I think.
Yeah, it was. I did one...
I was really judgy.
I did one with Holly, one with Matt Crosby, one with Fergus Craig. Anyway, I basically made it so difficult for myself and really overproduced it. It had, like, sound effects and, like...
Oh, yeah.
And like, I was really editing it to the minute. And no one would have ever heard it.
No. John, thanks for coming and doing it. I just said to Naomi, I said, I can't believe John's doing this. You must be so busy. Are you busy?
Yeah, I am busy, but I love talking about Crystal Palace, so I think I just sort of, yeah.
Well, I've got a little quiz.
I listened to a couple. I was like, it's terrible. I'm really bad at quizzes and I'm really bad at Crystal Palace knowledge. Pre-2010.
Well, the quiz that I've got is sort of a mix of like historical, but I think half the quiz is from last season. So,
oh, perfect.
You know a bit of that.
Terrible, but I'm interested to see.
John, can I talk to you a little bit about what you do?
Yes.
I think when I think of you, John, because we've known each other for years, haven't we?
Yeah. You think, why is he doing that job?
No, I think, have you got a big desk?
No, because we hot desk. We never got the same desk. Yeah.
Oh, no, you haven't got your own office or anything?
No, nothing like that. I work from home Mondays. I try to anyway, if I can. But yeah, it's all like it's just like W1A. That's the thing I've really learned from working at the BBC. It's just like W1A.
Oh, I thought you'd have a lovely big wooden desk. Oh, got it.
With like framed photos of Mrs. Brown, yeah. Boys and
oh, do you ever look at yourself in the mirror and go, I'm the head of BBC Comedy and it feels wonderful?
No, because you just feel nothing but pressure and judgment,
really.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like a proper honour to have the job. I mean, I love comedy, I love the BBC. There's no one else. There genuinely isn't anywhere that makes... I think we make the most new comedy in the world. If you look at our entire, you know, yearly output.
Yeah.
And that's more than, like, you know, than America or anything. It's obviously they've got bigger budgets, but we actually make loads. And you go to America and everyone knows about BBC comedy and it's really cool. And I'd sort of... Yeah, it was sort of growing up. That was all I watched, yeah. Was Channel 4 and BBC.
What's your typical day, John? Are you worked off your feet? And are you constantly getting scripts going? What do you think of this? Is it that?
I'm really lucky. I have a team. So I've got five incredible commissioners who are really, and they're all really, I think you'll probably have met most of them. They're really experienced execs. They've all made stuff. So they're not like, you know, they know what they're talking about. So I'm really lucky there. And then there's a few other people as well on the team, like a head of development and stuff. So that they often read a lot of the scripts before I... So I sort of see something when someone really loves it and they've, you know, see promise in something. And then there's loads of read-throughs. So you go to read-throughs a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I remember you did a read-through for that. Do you remember Fun Police? Was it Fun Police?
Yeah, just before I got ME.
Yeah, you were great in it as well. It was new and Vic Reeves, wasn't it, or something?
Yeah, and then I didn't get out of bed for 3 months.
Yeah.
John, if you don't mind me asking, how much stuff comes across your desk or people's desk where you just think, no, straight away, like, throw, like how many projects are really crap?
Wow.
Wow. Brutal. Get in, please, him in, John.
Crap.
Well, obviously, I wouldn't say crap. I'd be diplomatic, but like, not what we're looking for. Yeah, you loads, but I think that's the thing as well, is there's less people making comedy these days. There's less.
Is there?
Yeah, I think there's less. What people are looking for has changed. I think like the streamers have changed everything because everyone wants to make like a comedy drama now. There's less and less people.
Is that because it's slightly easier?
It's hard. I've never watched a comedy drama and wanted to sort of slag it off to the world, whereas I've definitely watched, it's like there's so many comedies that get one star and you never see a comedy drama that gets one star, do you?
No.
So I suppose it's sort of, if you're creative, it's, but I think it's when you get a good comedy right, I don't think anything else, like I still watch Partridge and, you know, Train sketches and all of that stuff from my childhood that, or like my teenage years that I loved.
Do you think you can still make a studio sitcom and be a hit now?
Yeah, I reckon. I just reckon.
They feel like they're the hardest. I guess Lee Mack's done it. They feel like they're the hardest to get
right.
You've
got to be doing something a bit different. I think you just have to reinvent it in some way. Like, I still think sketch is really exciting, but I think you just have to, you know, there's just so much stuff for people to watch these days. And then also I think, so much, the other thing with comedy is it takes ages for people to hear about it. It's not till normally second or third series when people start watching, you know, it's word of mouth. Because
yeah,
it's a lot harder to, I don't know, you normally watch a comedy with your arms crossed for the first time, don't you?
Mm. Yeah, my God. I know in like stand-up venues, I'm terrible like that. Arms crossed, legs crossed.
Oh, tutting. Really? Like, impress me.
Oh, I'm tutting.
Tutting? What, as they come on? No.
No.
Not for me.
But you were always, what I loved about you, you were genuinely, I think you were one of the first people I ever saw in London at the Clapham North, the Landor Tavern. When we, before me and my brother did the sketch night, the sit down Sunday.
Yeah.
I was crying when I watched, you did Janet Raven, the, remember the crow?
Yeah, John would love that. My Janet Raven.
Go on, David.
Yeah, go on, whack it out.
That's tut.
I'll sit here with my arms crossed and you've got to make me laugh. Go.
No.
It's really hard. It's like the fourth, I sometimes sing that to people, but then you really got to commit to it because the fourth time you've sung Janet Raven, you can tell people are really starting to...
Fed up with it.
Yeah. You have to do it.
I don't even remember how it went.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
That's what someone says when they don't want to do something.
No, I don't, I've got no memory of that, how it went. I know.
Well, if John reminds you, because he knows it.
John doesn't want to do it. He doesn't come on it. It's a Nazi. He's moved away from all that. Bloody hell. I did a thing, John, in Edinburgh where I put this old man's mask on and had this wobbly mushroom, big rubber mushroom. And I just used to think, old man, mushroom. And I just saw Steve Bennett from Chortle just looking at me like that. And I had to really... It was so horrible.
God. It's so funny. Every time before you're about to go on, you're so miserable. So I've never met someone who just seems to hate it so much.
Why would you keep doing it, David?
You're punching yourself in the dick.
I remember doing a gig, that a nice gig on my tour, and it went really well. It was really lovely. I came off and he said, "You must have enjoyed that one." No, not really. Just
what are you doing, man?
Yeah, why were you doing
anything else? I didn't have any. I knew I wanted to do something in comedy. It just wasn't that. I don't think.
Did you wake up in the morning feeling all nervous about it? And like,
I wasn't nervous. I guess it was nerves. But I just didn't want to go away from home. Didn't want to. Oh, I don't know. It's just.
But
weird,
did not
isn't it?
Doing a good show not just make you want to do it? Because I feel like I can understand at the beginning if you're nervous about doing something like that, it's quite a big thing. But then once people love it, surely it's easy and like it's fun and exciting to get up and do.
No, yeah, all right. John's on it.
Diary of a CEO.
Oh, you got to ask. There's got to be some intellectual questions asked. That was everyone.
Listen, I enjoyed part of it. I just didn't enjoy it enough to warrant smiling.
That's fair.
Right.
That's
fair. You know, and most
doing live. I mean, my wife's was a stand-up, and she stopped because it's weird. Some people just don't. It's just not for them, is it? Like she found that. She spent more time worrying about, because she did a lot of emceeing, but she found a lot of time worrying about what she'd said that night. You know, she'd wake up and just get really anxious about it. And I think nowadays as well, it's like even more, everyone's got phones and you just, and she never said anything bad, but she just couldn't.
No.
It didn't make her happy, so she stopped.
My thing was always, why am I the one in this room facing that way? Why have I and everyone's?
I'd be like that. Yeah,
a little bit of imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Anyway, John.
Ask about his childhood, John.
John. Before we go to football.
Yeah.
Have you? I got a couple of questions here that I thought were fantastic. Have you ever spotted a? Actually, have you ever made a program where you thought this is going to be big and it just hasn't quite hit? And you've gone, what? It surprised you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why is that? Is it just timing, and do you think?
I think, I don't know, when you're making it, and you're hopefully making it for millions of people, you just realise how different the country is in lots of different ways. And I don't know, like, large props and I don't know, people might have staunch views about the sort of comedy there. Also, the thing I always try to remember is that for a lot of people, they never think about comedy and they might watch one comedy a year. And so the sort of stuff that I would love is stuff that I feel like I haven't seen before. And if it's a bit like music or something, if you're a real muso, you just won't, and you know, you would never listen to the fifth Coldplay album probably. Just be like,
God, you're right, aren't we? Think about it all the time.
Yeah,
you think about it. John Beard didn't think about it once.
No, I think I've been to one comedy gig in my entire life, and that was Lloyd Griffiths' one.
What was the last? Back. What was the last TV comedy you watched?
Oh,
new TV comedy.
I couldn't tell you, but I watch like Inbetweeners and that kind of stuff all the time. If that's definitely classed as a comedy, isn't it?
Yeah, and I worked at Channel 4 as well, and that was sort of constantly on 4OD or whatever it's called now. That was top of the, you know, millions and millions of hours every year. People just, and it's the same at the BBC. If you sort of get a hit comedy,
yeah,
it's just they last for years. You know, Dad's Army still gets a million views every Saturday, I think.
Wow!
Started in the '60s, I think, the late '60s.
I just love the idea of a hit, and someone like you, John, has just said, "Just give me what you got next."
Yeah. Oh, brilliant!
Yeah.
Whatever it is,
John. Did you like people just do nothing?
Me? Yeah. Oh, I don't. What's people just do nothing?
Oh, for God's sake, John! How are you? A young
John
guy.
John created that.
Oh yeah,
but I didn't create it.
Well,
I sort of found it.
I just thought you were going to go, yeah, like that.
No, I'm not a big comedy. When I watch something, and I'm going to get stick for this again from you two. But I'm more of a serious, like real life kind of thing.
It's a mockumentary, so it's like real life.
Can't get any more real than that.
Also, okay. Football. It does like football. People tend to like people just do your thing because it's blokey, it's lads.
Yeah.
But we're lads at the end of the day.
I used to one of the guys that created it, Steve, he was a Brentford fan, and I used to go when we filmed it in Brentford. So I used to go whenever we were filming, I'd go with him to, he was one of the, that was one of the clubs I was thinking about when I was, you know, but so, yeah, it's a great club. But then when they got big, it was mad watching him there, because just everyone, one, it was filmed in their neighborhood, but also, yeah.
I'll tell you something I did watch like relatively recently. I don't know if it's new or not. It's Plebs, you know, with Tom Rosenthal, because we had him on.
Yeah.
Right, is that on the BBC?
That's ITV. That was like, there was about four or five series of that and a film. That was Tom, the writer of that, Tom Basden's brilliant. He's a very...
Yeah, I love him.
He does a show for us called Here We Go, which is...
I love that. I thought that was so good, Here We Go.
Ah, yeah, I think it's... That's a show that I think could become a sitcom great. It's like, he's such a good writer, and the cast is amazing.
Mm. So, John, you did what I did. You've gone from Man United to...
Yeah.
Not quite as severe as mine.
No, because you still hold a candle for United, don't you?
Ooh, just a bit.
Whereas I hate them now.
Do you? Oh,
yeah. God. Yeah, because I kind of...
What?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It was I was really lucky because we played them in the League Cup in 2000. And
when you say we, you're saying Crystal Palace?
Palace, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, you're a we.
Wow.
Yeah. I've really gone against them in a massive way, which is mad because they were a massive part of my life.
So how long did it take you to switch? Because it's taken me, I reckon, two seasons to really feel...
Well, I went around London going to like smaller clubs, because Holly had said to me, you love football, but you never go to it. You just follow Matthew, but you don't never go up to Manchester. Like, I used to go up once every 2 years, and then people would call me a glory hunter. I'd be like, no, I've been to, I just didn't. So anyway, I went Dagenham and Redbridge, Brentford, Millwall, Palace. I wanted a team that was sort of shit. And then sort of QPR. Oh, there they go. I don't remember now. But anyway, I went to Palace and I went with Fergus Craig, who's a comedian. And he always makes fun of me because I was there for about 20 minutes. And within 20 minutes, there was like, stand up if you love Palace. And I stood up and I genuinely was like, I really love this club. I just think it's...
your first game.
Scott Brown says I'm like one of those white ginger guys that joins ISIS.
He said that on the pod, actually.
There was something about it. There was something about it that was just, they were so rubbish. They were bottom of the championship.
Who were? Palace?
Yeah. They just
were signed, they?
Yeah, they'd signed Edgar Davids on loan, but he was so bad. It was he hadn't played for months. They lost, the first game was QPR. They lost 2-0, I think. But we were so bad and bottom of the championship, just come out of administration.
When was this? When were they bottom of the championship?
2010. But the ground was like, and still is, rubbish, but I loved it. It was everything I wanted in a football club. It was like, all the seats were wooden. They're not anymore, but they were then. There's like, not very nice pies. Everyone, but it was just like the people around me were funny, and everyone just had real gallows humour about it. And I know that's probably lots of those sorts of clubs, but that was my first interaction with it, I think.
Was there like a chance potentially that season of you going down to League One when you joined?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is depressing.
Yeah. Mm. And then, but then I've been on this weird journey.
That's depressing. Yeah, I like League One, actually.
So you're just above relegation, right?
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Rub it in.
It's horrible, isn't it? It's like,
it's the worst.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of us going down, I couldn't take a season in League, except I would in League Two. But when the guy came, we did a phone in last night, and he said, well, if we go down, we'll be down there for a decade. I thought, oh my God.
Well, we were down there for a decade last time, so...
That's the worst thing. People think, oh, we'll go down and then we'll just win for a season and come back up. But you see so many teams just drop again, don't you?
Yeah.
Look at Alfie Ipswich nodding.
Well, you know, I don't like to talk about it. It's not about me. Come on.
Shit, I didn't realise Palace were that low.
Yeah. Yeah, they gone into administration. They didn't have, like, a lot of their best players had left. We had this legendary goalkeeper called Julian Speroni who sort of stuck us through. There were just lots of cool characters. And then we had Dougie Friedman was sort of involved, and
he might be going to United, won't he?
Yeah, but I hope he doesn't, because he's just so good for us. And found like Eze, and well, not found them. They were around before, but he signed some people.
Yeah. Why do you hate United so much? They've got a lovely little lounge. Oh, I went to the lounge. It was lovely.
I think part of it was also partly the way they're all... it's probably partly just Glaziers and stuff as well. Like, just what it represent. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you.
I agree.
It's a crap way to run to have a football club. And they're sort of holding it hostage now as well, aren't they? So I think John's right. You should hate it as well, David.
I am definitely leaning towards. But when you said we had Edgar Davids, I was like, oh, fancy a bit of that down at Exeter.
Edgar Davids went to play for Barnet when they were in.
I'd have him now.
They're in League Two, and he was player manager. I think he got sent off.
God, he was awful. Yeah, he was bad at Barnet, wasn't he?
Terrible, terrible. But he still wore the goggles and still had the hair and was like, thought he was still great, but he was crap.
But how bad can you be when you're that good?
But he was old. He was like, he was nearly 40, I think, when he played for Barnet.
Yeah, he was probably that around that when he was at Palace. He was the worst player on the pitch. He was terrible.
Awful.
Yeah.
But he still ran around and played like he thought he was the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But he didn't wear those goggles to look cool, did he?
No, but he wore them.
No, but you're suggesting that he wanted to look the business. And
Yeah, but that's the only thing anyone ever knows Edgar Davids for is the geezer with the goggles.
So depressing.
Yeah, quite a good career.
He was on the cover of FIFA, that's all I know about him.
He was great.
Yeah.
So how many seasons were you in the Championship before you thought, hello, we might be going up?
Well, that's the thing. I've been on a weird journey because we got promoted way before we were kind of ready to. It was a weird... It was all, again, sort of thanks to Dougie Friedman, and then Holloway came in because Dougie Friedman went to Bolton. But he brought in all these players that sort of just were playing out of their skin. And I think it was 3 years before they got promoted. And then they won in the playoffs. Here's a fact I learned, that we are the team that's been promoted the most through the playoffs than any other team. British, yeah,
four into times. The Premier.
Yeah, we've secured promotion four times through the playoffs into the Premier League.
What's that like, knowing you're going to the Premier?
The day of the playoff final, Holly obviously understandably gets cross about this, but it was the greatest day of my life, better than that. It was just, Holly was with me, so sort of, but at Wembley, it was amazing. Oh, it was lovely.
Is it nice watching all those players in the Prem?
It is quite nice, yeah. It's nice to sort of see Haaland and like, I took my son, and I'm trying to get him into Palace, and obviously at school, everyone supports the big clubs, but sort of things like that, I just constantly buy him only Crystal Palace thing. He was telling me he wanted to be a Tottenham fan. I was like, well, I will never take you to see Tottenham. I'll always take you to see Palace. sort of cute. But yeah.
My boys are Tottenham fans now. They've got the kits. It's meant. It's no weird. Way. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Because they saw, it was one game last year where they saw them beat Man City. And he said to me recently, "When I didn't realise they're a big side when I started supporting them."
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I got into Man. I started supporting Man U because my like no one in my family or my mum and dad, my brother, none of them played football, knew anything
about football. Same here. Yeah.
No one was there to tell me that you should support your local team. I just didn't know.
Yeah.
I thought, you just support the best team. That's how it works.
This is so lovely to hear. This is exactly what I've always had grief. I didn't know, John. You didn't know.
Yeah, I just didn't.
No.
And then, yeah.
No.
And then now I feel ashamed. Ashamed that I felt like that.
No, don't be ashamed.
Not quite for me. Not quite.
No, trust me. It's
David won't let it go.
It's a blessing and a curse. Like, I was fortunate enough that my dad, obviously, was a massive Exeter City fan. So I grew up supporting my local team. But, like, sometimes I do think, oh, God, you know, like, it could have been anyone in the world and I got Exeter City, which is sort of like League 2, League 1 forever, probably. So, it's although you say you regret feeling like you only wanted to support Man United because they were the best, I think that might have probably, well, that brought you some good times as well.
In the League Cup this season, that... Was it Luton you beat? That must have been an amazing night.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, I don't think I ever, the best feeling I ever got as a Man U fan was the watching the final against Bayern Munich. But I was watching it on telly and was with a bunch of schoolmates, none of whom I think supported Man U particularly. But then, like, probably one of my favourite experience was the promotion. That was amazing. But also, there was like Jermaine Easter scored two goals in the last, like in extra term against like Sheffield Wednesday or something. And I've never experienced, like, we were climbing all over each other and I put my glasses. And
do you really let go in the stands?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a dick.
Oh, I love to hear that. That's so good. Because David struggles to even stand up when a goal goes in.
What? Are you really a dickhead in the stands?
Yeah, I like going mad. I used to, when I first went there, I used to stand, you know, that, have you heard of the Crystal Palace Ultras? All the people, they bang the drum and wave their flags and stuff. And I used to stand just behind them, like a few rows behind them with some mates. And I loved it. But then when I got a season ticket, Holly didn't want to stand up for a whole game. So I had to move to a different part of the...
I'm with Holly.
Yeah. They're quite good, aren't they, those Crystal Palace Ultras? They actually do make some really good atmosphere, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Lots of people have a problem with them for various reasons, but I think they're really good. And they make it so much more fun. Like, the other day they fell out with Croydon Council because they have all their drums and their flags in a cupboard at the ground, and it got basically the council wouldn't let them have their drum and their signs, and so they didn't for the first half. There was just no atmosphere, and then the second half, I don't know what they said, but they got their drum back and then it suddenly came alive again.
Yeah. I saw a video. Is it your friend Ellis?
Ellis Platton.
Yeah. He put a video up of when he went, he does the away days, and he went to Fleetwood and watched Exeter Fleetwood.
Yeah.
And he was standing with the Exeter fans.
Yeah.
Too much.
Really?
I was like, I couldn't stand in amongst all this. It's too loud.
What? You feel uncomfortable?
You've literally been to Plymouth away. That's the worst it's ever going to get.
Yeah, that felt different because it felt meaningful. At Fleetwood, I'd be like, rein in.
What would your ideal be then? Everyone sitting down and just watching?
No, I like watching it. I love that people do it. I just don't want to be in it.
I see. Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah, I can't help myself.
They're big stands, aren't they? You can like just move along and go. You don't have to be in with the rest.
Ellis was right in it.
When we've gone on away days, he gets right in it wherever we go.
And you went to Dortmund, didn't you?
Yes. Right in it. And I was...
Did you go?
Yes, I went. Yeah. Yeah.
That's my dream.
That's your dream?
Yeah, to do the yellow wall. Well, that'd be it's one of my footballing dreams.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's expensive, though.
I went to see Bayer Leverkusen play Wolfsburg a few years ago, and we were sat right next to the Wolfsburg away fans, and it looked so fun. It looked amazing. It was... They're all, like, caged. They're all in a big cage.
Yeah. Yeah, you feel...
Is Germany
like
sort of renowned for being louder?
It's so funny how bad the atmosphere is in the Premier League compared to Germany. And I don't know how we managed to like get this reputation for... Even Palace, it's a good atmosphere, but it's not amazing.
Yeah.
Is it because 80% of people like me?
Probably.
Yeah.
I just want to sit with a picnic.
Yeah.
Yes. Got earplugs in.
The thing that I love about, like, you know, when you see teams that have really good atmosphere is, and this is sort of aimed a little bit at you, David, but if you go to a game and you sit there and you just watch the game, you can find, say you were on a losing streak like we are now, you find yourself falling into this miserable rut. Whereas if you're on the big bank and chanting and jumping around, you're sort of just a little bit like trying to forget about the result, which I think helps with, you say, like, you know, you say you go in and we've lost, you know, the last 10 in a row, whatever.
How many games have you been to this season?
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Good question.
How many away games have you been to this season?
Ooh.
How many have you been to, John? Away games.
How many away games have I been to?
Either of you?
I've been to like quite a few, like four or five of the ones we've done this season.
All right.
Do you go to away games, John?
I don't anymore since having kids. I used to go loads, but I try and go to. I've got a season ticket. I go to any game I can. Sometimes it's quite difficult with the job, but, and also my son started playing football now. That's a real pain in the ass.
Yeah, isn't it?
But I'm really bad now. When I watch him, I sort of get into his games and scream louder than I should do. And
do you?
I just, any sort of competition, any sort of any sport, whatever it is, I will instantly like pick a side and then get kind of,
yeah. Yeah,
I watch my eldest boy when he was playing when he was 11 or 12. I remember crying.
Too loud.
No, what? No. I was crying because he was really trying and wasn't quite. I don't know. It was just a match where he wasn't quite.
Yeah.
I just started crying.
It's awful. My son's a goalie and it's awful when you see him make a mistake because you know the other parents are like, my fuck's sake. What's he
doing? Oh, like you, John. Could you imagine yourself having a fist fight?
No.
Because I've seen that in Crawley.
Yeah, no, I'm a complete wimp. I don't like confrontation. I just like...
I love watching it, but
it's watching. Great, isn't it?
You've got padding for the atmosphere.
Yeah.
No, I'd be ducking behind someone.
Sort of causing the problems and then walking away,
Yeah, totally.
Have you ever seen fist fights at kids' football? Alfie, or...
When I was playing, all the time.
Between the parents?
Parents. One time a lino and one of the parents. And it was really sick. When I was younger, it was quite serious, the games would play. So then everyone was sort of on, everyone felt under a lot of pressure.
What do you mean it's serious?
It was just like, it was quite, they, you know, a lot of the people went on to play professional.
What level did you play at?
Oh, I don't like to talk about it, David.
Well, I do.
Yeah, no, really I played... I had scouts come and watch me when I was younger, and they put me through to this thing. It was called the EJA at the time, so it's kind of like it's like a non-league academy, essentially. But a lot of them had been released from Ipswich and Norwich and stuff like that, so they were really serious. And then my dad would come along, bless him, and not have a clue what's going on. But he even got a few, you know.
What, punched?
Not punched, no. Just sort of people, he might say something about, what do you mean by that? That kind of thing. Like, yeah. And he'd go, so I don't, nothing. Sorry.
Yeah.
Poor bloke. Why are we, so you cry, would your son not be like, dad, can you stop crying?
No, you wouldn't have seen it. I wasn't sort of, but it's just, like a tear would have fallen down my. It was enough sort of wetness to. If you'd looked at me, you'd go, he's crying, that bloke.
That bloke's crying.
Yeah. I just don't like seeing people try. It just makes me feel.
Like Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
He's got the little wounded wing.
Yeah.
Wing? Fin. A bit like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, bless you.
I get it. I totally get it. But it's hard because my son's convinced he's going to get scouted, and it's really, you know, I don't want him doing it.
This is going to be a hard hitting question. Do you know when you see not just you, John, but anybody as well, David as well? Do you know when you see your kid play football, like, yeah, you're not going to play. You just play for fun, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's awful to say. I think you just see. I watched that documentary on Channel 4 about Crystal Palace. It was all shot.
Oh, I hated that.
And it's so heartbreaking. But you kind of also the amount you have to play, like you have to be playing every single night. And I really love the fact that he's into football, but he already plays 3 days a week. And I kind of want him to not just be a football boy.
Yeah. Same here. I'm exactly the same at the moment. Yeah.
It's brutal world. We had guys who had been there from like the age of 6 to 15 and then they just drop you. It's kind of like, it's like all you've known your whole childhood. And then it's like, nope, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose if you get to a certain level as well, you kind of feel like there's hope.
Whereas,
I don't know. Surely at a certain age, you see the better players and go, oh, I'm not in that level.
But the downfall of a lot of those kids in that Palace documentary is their own parents, isn't it? Putting way too much pressure on their kids to, like, you know, I remember in one of them is the mum says, oh, like, remember, you're going to be buying your mum a new car and stuff like that. It's like, you know, imagine all of that that's going through your head as a kid. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah, I think one of the things I love about Palace at the moment is that all the players they buy in, like, as a, and they just seem like really nice people as well. Like, they obviously, and they clearly do sort of that, factor all that into like the players they buy to make sure that it's a sort of happy team. And because, yeah, you kind of get other players that other teams where it's just all about that one player and then it ruins everything. Mm. That's what I think Man U, when I look at Man U, and kind of there just doesn't seem to be any strategy or any. There's no thought going into, like, it doesn't seem to me anyway, but the ones they're buying.
Just careful what you're saying, John. Right?
Here comes a punch up.
Yeah.
No, but John makes a good point because.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
For one of the signings that Man United made this summer, that Amrabat, to me, or was it? Yeah, I think it was this summer. That doesn't make any sense to me. I think if you know anything about football, you don't buy someone based off an international tournament. You can't.
No.
And they went. How much did they spend on him in the end? Was it like?
And he's like 28 and just unknown.
Yeah, unknown. Mm. 28. He's probably reached the peak of his career already. As in, like, he's not going to get any better. It's just, see, they're just weird, weird signings.
I remember Ferguson did that. He bought, was it Podolski and Cruyff or something? Yeah. Do you remember after Euro 96?
Oh yeah,
he bought these.
The Czech player.
Yeah, he'd never done it before, but he bought them, and they were pretty average, rubbish player.
Because Karol Podolski did a little loop goal.
Scored an amazing goal. I think it might have even been at Old Trafford. And then he bought Jordi Cruyff.
Yeah.
Who was rubbish as well. But they were both, because they had good tournaments. But they hadn't really done that before. But you're right. Like, yeah, that's always a bad sign, isn't it?
Mm. When you went to Crystal Palace for the first time, genuinely, when did you feel like you could sort of cheer and say you're a supporter before? Because at the moment, I'm feeling like whenever I say anything, real supporters go, yeah, all right, mate. You've only been here 2 minutes.
At what point did you start calling Crystal Palace we, John?
We, yeah. Probably too embarrassingly early than I should have done.
You stood up, to be fair.
I think because I was so starved at that experience, I really wanted that experience. And I was so happy to actually have it and, like, have a football club near me. And all the stuff probably should have done all that earlier in my life. And I was at that point in my life, I was in my early 20s, mid 20s. And so I had the time to dedicate to it. I could sort of spend every waking minute, literally, going, traveling around with them. And also it's that thing of meeting mates. Yeah, I was lucky. I had Doc introduce me to a bunch of people. And I used to go to the same pub. And then now we go to the same pub with this little group. And it's also a random mix of people that have become my friend. And I love them all. And I love seeing them. And yeah.
Surely you get invited into the lounge.
I've never done all that.
It's
done
lovely.
Have you been to the Palace? Like, you mean the...
No, Exeter. It's lovely. Yeah. Makes me feel...
I don't like wearing... you have to wear a tie.
What's that?
You have to wear a tie.
Play by my rules.
Yeah. Not the big dog.
Oh, do you go every home game?
I try to, yeah.
What's your, I really like knowing the little routine on a Saturday.
Well, if I didn't have like a child stuff to do, then my dream day would be there's a working man's club called The Victory, which I love, and I'd go there. I try and get there about 12:30. I try and have probably 4 pints before the game.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's all. Like I say, I don't get to do it very much now, but that would be my routine.
I'd be hammered.
And then I can sing like loudly for an hour and a half.
See, Dutch courage.
Yeah, I was literally about to say Dutch courage.
I think I'd go into my shell more.
Really? Hyper aware of every...
David, you can't go into your shell anymore. There's no more room to go back, retract. There's only out from here.
But what about a normal game, John?
Nowadays, I sort of get there just as it's like 5 minutes before it's starting. And
slightly stressed.
Yeah. Usually stressed, but now because my son often comes with me, and so it's not quite the same. Still have a pint at half-time, but...
Do you? God, yeah. I don't even do that. If I had a pint at half-time on a Saturday, I'd feel like I was being really naughty.
Mm.
So much wrong with me.
You've never really drunk much, have you?
No.
Drinker?
You like a glass of red wine, David? That's, come on.
Yeah, but you're not going to get that at half-time. You look like a burk, aren't you? Are you?
I don't think they'd serve you a glass of red under the telly.
Questioning that. Questioning everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does your son get into it, or is he kind of looking around?
No, he does now. This is the first season that, I've been completely honest, I was taking him there selfishly before so that I could go, and then I just give him my phone. And we had a great understanding. He got to have a hot dog and like a Coke and play on my phone. He loved it. But then... This season,
we're in the same stand.
He sits in the dugout. But then this season, he's playing football more. I said, "You're not, you know, now you can watch it, and you should be watching it." But he really enjoys it, and he gets scared when I celebrate when we score.
And I really want to see you celebrate.
Why is it scaring children? What are you doing?
I try not to celebrate or to scream loudly, but I can't help it. And I've tried so many times to keep it in, but I always... He doesn't cry. Last season, he'd cry a few times, and I try not to.
But when you celebrate?
Yeah, because I'd just...
He's sort of growling.
Yeah, his face. What have you got to do it in his face?
But thinking it was a fun thing, but obviously watching someone you love go...
In his face. Fuck you. We've been good eyes, you fucker.
Fucking hell.
Against Everton, we scored a penalty, and I sort of picked him up. I just gave him a shot. I didn't mean to. I thought he'd like it. Again, I just thought he'd like it, but I sort of picked him up to sort of, you know.
Above your head. Like a log
after 4 pints.
I've done that with mine, just gone hey, and he's just sort of get off.
Yeah, he had a massive go at me. I was like, don't ever do that again.
Oh no. He'll cherish those moments when you're screaming at him.
Yes. Goodbye, guys, Dad.
Oh, fuck. I didn't know he let go enough to do that.
I don't remember ever having that with my dad. I remember a bit like whenever I would I went to football with my dad from like the age of 3, 4.
And he was always flirting with people, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sexy dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, he was. He was flirting with people. No, but like when he would celebrate, we would like we'd both let loose sort of together, like it'd all just be like a big mosh.
What, as a 4-year-old?
Nah, maybe not 4, but like when I was like 8, I remember like getting pushed about, and like, I got trapped against a barrier once. So like, yeah,
I was too sensitive as a child. I'd have cried my eyes out if I got trapped.
I loved it. Yeah, it was so good. I remember thinking, I remember feeling like an adult because you're celebrating with loads of adults, but you're not. You're eight.
That's just reminded me when I was a Man U fan when I was little. The first ever Man U game I went to was against Portsmouth, and a friend. It was in the League Cup, and a friend of my parents had said, "Oh, I'm a Portsmouth fan. He can. I've got a spare ticket. He can come and watch the game with me." But like, because my parents didn't know anything about football, they let me dress up in my full Man United kit with my Man United scarf, Man United hat, Man United rucksack. But then I sat in the Portsmouth end with this guy. When Man U scored, I jumped up and started celebrating. This dad, or like this Portsmouth fan, just went, "Shut the fuck down." I was like eight years old. Then I went to the toilet. I went to piss at half time, and someone took off my hat and took off my scarf, and I never saw it again.
Well, like, they nicked it.
Yeah,
terrifying.
I was terrible.
That's terrible.
No, that's horrible.
My mum was like, "You know, how was it?" And I was like, I don't want to go. I don't think I like going to football.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Imagine that bastard.
Yeah. But,
Portsmouth fans.
Yeah.
What are they like?
Oh.
Let's get revenge.
The guy who's covered in tattoos, John Pompey Portsmouth or whatever.
Yeah. Rings the bell.
Yeah.
Who's he?
Oh, David, you'd love him.
Yeah, you would. He'd be great on the pod.
He's got like blonde, blue, dreadlocky hair, but I think that's a wig with a big blue Portsmouth hat. And he loves Portsmouth so much, he changed his middle name to Pompey.
Oh my God.
And he rings this massive bell that you can hear throughout the stadium. It's just like da-ding, da-ding, and he takes it home and away everywhere. And he's an absolute nutcase, but mental.
I think I heard someone saying that basically even Portsmouth fans don't really like him.
Yeah, like it was funny at the beginning or like different, and it put Portsmouth like, it was like, you know, like in a lot of documentary type things. But then imagine having to be the guy who sits next to him ringing the bell.
Every game.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, that's a wig, isn't it? Those dreadlocks.
Yeah, I think it is a wig, yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. He works in a library.
Yeah, he's like a, like in his day, like if he, when he puts a t-shirt like, or a shirt on and he's like a tie on and that, he looks like a normal human being. But and he, I think he has a normal job, but he just loses it on the weekends, I think.
It's because he works in a library. He just, he's desperate to make as much noise as he can.
Fuck. Are you up for doing the quiz?
Yeah. John? Yeah, I mean, see how it goes.
Well, we've got a little leaderboard here.
Yeah, we have got a table.
I listened to the one with Tom Parry, though. The questions were so hard.
Yeah. Yeah, you really stiffed them.
God, I'm glad I didn't have to do this. It's a lot of pressure.
So lovely. It really feels like I was trying to copy Top Gear.
Just thinking it's a bit Top Gear-y.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Is that what those things are in the back? Is behind you? Is that like all the scores ranked? And
yeah, all my podcast ideas. Blue are really good. Yellow are good.
What's pink?
Pink are quite good and green are good.
That's a weird order to have.
They're all good.
Should probably start some of them then.
Okay, right, here we go. Right, I think this is last season. Some are last season, some are not. Who scored Crystal Palace's first Premier League goal of the season? Was it Eze, Olise or Saha?
Who did we play? Was it Fulham? No. I'll just go with Eze.
Wrong. Ugh. Zaha. One draw against Liverpool.
I should have just said Zaha. He scored all our goals.
And we move on to an old website. In what year were Crystal Palace formed? 1900, 1905... 1895 1910.
Well, this is another thing that makes me laugh about Palace. They have now decided they're the oldest club in the world, or they used to be. Originally, they were founded in 1905, but now they say they were founded 1861.
Oh,
because they got a palace historian went back through the like the archives, and I don't know, found that we were older than. So we are supposedly officially the oldest club in league football.
Wow,
but yeah. I don't know.
You're going to go for... I'll go
for 1905, because if it's an old quiz, they wouldn't have... was 1905 even in the...
Yeah, 1905.
That one.
Correct.
Wow.
Off the mark.
He's on the leaderboard.
Flipping out. And some bonus knowledge.
Yeah.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Question two. Which ground did the club first play their home games? Herne Hill, Crystal Palace, The Nest or Selhurst Park?
The Nest...
Fuck, I don't know if I've got the answers.
That's kind of rule one for a quiz master, isn't it?
Actually, no, the Nest ruled out, so that's incorrect. Oh, bollocks. What was it? I got the answers.
What was it?
Oh, you dick. I don't know where the answers are.
I'm not saying this
hang on. It was Crystal Palace.
Oh, fuck.
Crystal Palace. Yeah.
I mean, I should have known that. Because that's where they used to have the FA Cup final there as well.
Nah.
Ah. Bollocks.
Second question.
Second? So we're rolling
third
that out.
Third question.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
How many goals did Crystal Palace score in September last year?
That's a joke, David. Come on, mate.
That's what it says.
That's ridiculous.
That's absolutely outrageous.
Excuse me, this is a BBC quiz, so...
Sorry. I didn't mean to disrespect the BBC.
Four.
Okay.
Four. Was there not even a multiple choice? Okay, right, brilliant.
That was not a multiple choice. Just guess the time.
Oh, Crystal Palace only played one game in September and it ended 0-0.
So
is this rubbish?
So it was none?
Yeah.
Kind of been, because if Zaha scored our first goal.
That was August.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. And we move on to October last season. How many Premier League points did Crystal...
This is mental. This is absolutely mental.
I don't think the bloody manager would know these.
How many Premier League points did Crystal Palace pick up from their six games in the month of October?
I can't believe this is an actual quiz question.
Nine.
Ooh. Oh, sorry. Four, six, seven, or ten.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Right, four, six, seven, or ten.
Seven.
Wrong. Ten.
Fuck,
they beat Leeds, Wolves, and Southampton and drew against Leicester.
Nine was a good guess then.
Yeah, nine was a good guess.
Mm. Yeah. Who was Palace's first manager in their history? Was it Edmund Goodman? Was it John T. Robson? Was it Alec Maley or Fred Maven?
You've gone from October last year to the first ever manager.
Give me the names again.
Was it Goodman, Robson, Maley or Maven?
Goodman sounds like an old name.
Goodman has gone for Goodman, and the answer is Robson, John T. Robson, 1905
we've come back to.
We're back to the present day. November last year, which three Palace players failed to score penalties in their Carabao Cup shootout defeat by Newcastle? Was it Ayu Milojevic and Hughes, Ward and Mateta, Mitchell and Ayu, or Milojevic, Mateta and Ibuwehe?
What I don't even know what the question was there.
Yeah, I don't even know where we are.
There's a lot of penalties in the Carabao Cup shootout.
First one, the one with Ayu in it.
Wrong. Ugh. Mateta, Eboué, and Milivojević.
Milivojević.
Who's got the lowest score in this quiz game?
Tom Parry, 3.
Hey, I might beat Tom Parry.
At the moment, John, you're on 1.
Yeah.
And we move on to December last year with James Tompkins, who was one of the 2 Palace players sent off against Fulham. But who was the other?
This game. Mitchell?
Correct.
Hey.
Hey. Wonderful.
We're off.
Here we go. Which of these scored the most goals in a season for the club? Ian Wright, Jim Cannon, Mark Bright, or Peter Simpson?
Ian Wright.
Peter Simpson. 46 goals in 1930.
1930. Jesus, oh yeah, Christ. I remember that.
January from last year, which German club did Crystal Palace sign Naoro Hamada?
Sorry?
Oh, Stuttgart.
Correct. Yeah. 9.7 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
Big. He's not very good either.
No. February. Staying with Naoro Hamada, who did he make his Palace debut against?
Jesus, what kind of question is that?
What? Is that a tough one?
Yes, that's a tough question.
To be fair, it was 8 months ago, so it's doable.
Anything's doable.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Wolves?
Wrong. Man United. 2-1 loss. Came off the bench. How many league goals did Ian Wright score for Crystal Palace?
Here we go.
91, 85, 87 or 89?
I feel like it's one of the 80s. I'm going to go with 85.
85, going for 85. 89.
Oh.
He scored 117 goals in all competitions and made a total of 277 appearances.
That's good. That's a good record, that.
Yeah. How many questions have we done, John?
We are on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
This is the 12th one. Okay. On which day of the week was Patrick Vieira sacked?
This isn't BBC.
It is. My mate's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I'm going to go with Monday.
Wrong. Friday.
That seems like an odd day to sack a football manager.
Before a game.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was question 13, David. So we're now on four. This is 14 you're about to ask now.
Palace played 6 games in April after Roy Hodgson's return as manager. But how many did they win?
Ooh. 4.
Here we go. Correct.
Come yes. on.
Correct.
Level now, aren't you, with...
No, he's overtaken Tom Parry.
Get in.
There we go.
Although Tom Parry's questions were all from 1905.
So. Did Roy Hodgson give Harry Kane, who scored a winning goal for Spurs against Palace, his England debut? Yes or no?
That's actually a good question, Matt.
I'm going to say yes.
Correct.
Yeah, I would have said yeah. Like that.
Correct.
Storming it now.
So one more question.
Yeah, last question, sir.
I always do an age one, so.
Yeah, this is a staple of the My New Football Club Top Gear rip-off. quiz.
How old is Eze?
Oh, great question.
Oh, I think he's 25 or 26. I'm going to go with 25.
Correct.
Wow.
There Impressive. We go.
Big finish.
Lovely little final furlong. How many points, John?
He finished on a whopping 6 points.
There we go. This is lovely. Lovely. Joint with Tom Rosenthal.
Lovely. I'll take
yeah.
That.
Are you happy or sort of?
He's supported Arsenal, hasn't he? Tom Rosenthal.
Yeah.
What's he doing on here?
What was he? He didn't know a lot, actually.
No, he
sort
didn't.
Of did, and he didn't.
He should do. He should.
Yeah, know. He should know loads, given his father's.
He strikes me as someone that would know loads.
Yeah, he sort of.
What a letdown.
Yeah. Yeah, his quiz. He sort of failed. Terribly,
yeah.
Yeah.
But do you feel anything to after that, John? Are you not bothered?
Relief. A sense of relief.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. 6 points. Joint second bottom.
Are you got a season ticket now? You have, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah. The last two seasons. Honestly, I bloody love Saturdays when I see they're playing at home.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
I can't wait. What I really hope is that when my kids get older that we travel, because there are some mates I know that go home and away with their kids, and I love the idea of that sort of driving up to...
Yeah. That's what you did, didn't you, John?
Yeah. Well, yeah, my whole childhood was spent going to, like, away games with my dad, which is why I've ticked off so many of the grounds. I've done, like, 60-something of the grounds out of the 92. So the reason why is because I've done every team in League 2, every team in League 1 bar Fleetwood, I think, and then quite a lot of the teams in the Championship as well. So, yeah.
Oh. And do you have a good relationship with your dad?
Yeah, football wise, yeah. Like, I mean, because we speak about football all the time, we don't really have a chance to speak about anything else. But like, football is what keeps my family like glued together, really. Just that this shit, like everyone just is absolutely obsessed about Exeter City in my household, and like my mum even goes now. She used to always like call herself a football widow, but now she's got a season ticket and goes like every home game. So yeah,
she in the big bank.
No, she's she actually sits just in front of like Taggy and that a few rows down.
Oh, so nice too.
That's
good. So when you used to go off with your dad,
yeah,
would you just set off really early on a Saturday, or would you go on a Friday night?
Every time I went with my dad, pretty much, bar like the first couple of years where we'd get the fans coach up, we would stay the night before. So we'd go on a Friday night, really? Stay in a hotel, and then
it must be so pricey.
Yeah.
So my dad, like we went with like a couple of my dad's mates, and one of them worked like for a company where he had to travel a lot, like around the country a lot. So he would check out of hotels on his like credit card, and he'd get all these like points, like honor points. So then we'd stay for like nut peanuts in these like pretty right. nice hotels. So yeah, that was good.
Mm. Yeah, I like the idea. I could do away games when my boys are a bit older.
Mm.
My boys are a little bit fair weather at the moment. If it's cold and they're not coming. Do you make yours go, John?
I don't need to. He's really into it.
Right.
Yeah. When I took him to meet, you know, you can sort of meet the players as they arrive at the.
Yeah.
Took him to do that, and that was a good day.
Felt yeah. like
a good dad that day.
Yeah.
Made up for screaming in his face later.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that at the end of last season. We met all the Exeter players. I got Gary Caldwell to give him some advice. He just bent down. He said,
oh, nice.
Yeah, he just said, you just got to keep trying, keep practicing. Oh, it's lovely.
But as a kid, that makes you like, that can make you like year. Like if you've got someone, you know, someone really who's done really well for themselves in football telling you and giving you advice, you like take that on board, like grasp on to it.
When I was younger, I went on a Man United soccer school. A Bobby Charlton soccer school.
Yeah.
And I went up to Manchester for it, and they ran a thing where you could meet the players, and the previous week it had been, was it Brian McClair had been there? And he was quite good then, and I was really excited. And then the week we came, and they're like, oh, we've got some youth players for you. I was like, oh, I wanted to meet them. I was so excited about it. And so I met these youth players, didn't know who they were. and we got their autograph. And then years later, I found like the bit of paper, and it was David Beckham and Gary Neville. And that's
wow.
And I didn't know who they were at the time. It was, they were just these youth players who never played for
wow.
the
I was like, do you remember that day well, meeting them?
Yeah, I do, because I just remember thinking, I don't really know who you are and why I'm asking for your autograph. And then...
Oh, my God.
And it's the same signature with the little number 7 in it. And
yeah,
you obviously had that. When
that
you...
is one of the best little stories we've had on here. That
yeah,
was
that's lovely. Amazing.
That's quality.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
When you think back, do you see Beckham? Or do you just see this random... You yeah, know what I mean?
He was like a good-looking young man.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I bet he was, yeah. Cool.
And you were 8 or 9, you still...
I was 8, I really knew about that.
You still understood all that business.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, for me.
Thank you, John. No, that thanks. Was great.
Nice to meet you. John, you don't look like how I imagined from the pop from listening to it.
Do I look better, worse?
Yeah, very much better. Very handsome young man.
Oh, thank you very much.
Got nice. A Rebecca moment.
Oh. Well,
I'm rolled back the ears.
I'm going to have my chest puffed out for the rest of the day now. Thanks for that, John.
He is, isn't he?
I might go out now.
You should see his dad.
Some
you should see his dad.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Very hot. And he knows it. His dad.
If you like the calf, you'll love the bull. That's all I'm saying.